The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. As you listen to this sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of his word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. But during our short stay at the hospital, we had so many great nurses who cared for us after Tegan was born. And so for hours at a time while they were on their shift, we would have a nurse who would be assigned to our care. And so she would come periodically to, you know, check vitals, see how Alexa's doing, see how the baby's doing, answer any questions we might have. If we ever need anything, we would just push a button and she would be right there. And before leaving, all these nurses, they would always ask the same question. They would say, is there anything else I can do for you? Do you need some water? Can I do anything else for you? And we would say, no, I think we're good. And they'd say, you just let me know. If you need anything at all, I'm here for you. It was their personal and professional mission to care for us and to make sure that we were well cared for while in the hospital. And so that we would have them for hours at a time and we would talk to them while they'd be caring for us. We would get to know them. And by the end of their shift, the time would come where their shift would be up and they would be out of there, headed home. And we'd always be kind of sad because we got to know them and they cared for us so well. It made us sad to see them go. But every single time there was a shift change, the nurse would say the same thing, no matter who it was. She would say, my shift ends at this time, but don't worry. Such and such is coming after me. You're going to love her. She is great. You are in good hands because this nurse after me is coming and you'll be under her care when I leave. As we just heard in our scripture reading a moment ago in John chapter 10, Jesus is our good shepherd. It was his personal and professional mission to care for his sheep. And he was utterly and completely committed to that mission, to being the good shepherd for the sheep whom the Father had given to him. He said, I know my own and my own know me. I lay down my life for them and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And yet four chapters later here in John chapter 14, Jesus tells his disciples that he's about to leave them, that he's going to depart. And as we saw last week, as Jesus tells them he's going to depart, he begins to comfort them. And he speaks these words of comfort. And Pastor Lance preached about the comfort that Jesus brings last week. And this week, we will see that Jesus comforts his sheep, his flock, by telling them, yes, I'm going to depart. My shift is ending, but don't worry. Another helper will come. You are in good hands when I leave here. So this sermon is going to build on last week's sermon. And I didn't plagiarize, I promise, but it just fits so well. The main point is going to be the exact same as last week's with one key addition, and that is the Holy Spirit. So the main point for the sermon this morning is this. Jesus is our comfort, just like we heard last week. But this week, it is Jesus is our comfort through the Holy Spirit. Our four points this week are going to be the same as last week. Jesus is our comfort. We know his comfort. Or comfort comes to us when we know Jesus' person through the Holy Spirit. Comfort comes from knowing Jesus' proclamation through the Holy Spirit. Comfort comes from knowing Jesus' preparation through the Holy Spirit. Then number four, knowing Jesus' power through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus introduces us to the Spirit for the first time in verse 16. Now, earlier in the Gospel of John, he may have made some, you know, comments here and there about the Spirit, but now he speaks explicitly about the Spirit. And he declares in verse 16 that I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Okay, now that word advocate, other translations will translate that as counselor or helper or comforter. And the NIV or translate that as advocate. And the idea is all the same, right? That it's someone who comes alongside you to help, to provide counsel and comfort, to advocate on your behalf. It's someone in your corner, someone who's in your foxhole, someone who's got your back, constantly working for your everlasting good. And so Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will send you another advocate. Now, another key word there is another, right? He doesn't say, I will send you an advocate, but he says, I will send you another advocate. As if to say, well, there already has been an advocate, and now you're going to receive another one. Well, who was the first advocate? It's Jesus, right? Jesus was the initial advocate sent from the Father, the counselor, the comforter, the helper, the good shepherd to come and care for the sheep, to lay down his life for them and to bring them home. But now, of course, Jesus has just told his disciples that he's about to go away, that he's about to leave them. And here he tells them, he comforts them by telling them, yes, I have been your advocate, but do not worry. Peace I speak to you. I will go to the Father. I will ask him, and he will send you another advocate, another helper, another comforter. Who is this other advocate? Well, he tells us in verse 17, he calls him the Spirit of Truth. In verse 26, he makes it even more explicit. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And so Jesus tells us that this next advocate, this next comforter and helper will be the very Holy Spirit. Jesus promises that he will send the Holy Spirit to his people. Now, if we're being honest this morning, that hearing that doesn't land on us like it should. Like, we're used to hearing that growing up in church, right? You have your Sunday school answers, you know, God, Jesus, Bible, Holy Spirit. It's just one of those Sunday school answers, you know. Kids could tell you, yeah, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. We're used to hearing that. But let's dig into this a little bit more to find out more about who this Holy Spirit is in hopes that this will land on us as it would have landed on the disciples. This was new to the disciples, right? They didn't grow up in Sunday school hearing about the Holy Spirit. Who is this advocate you're talking about, Jesus? Who is the Spirit of Truth? We now have the benefit of 2,000 years of church history, of studying the Word of God together and arriving at theological conclusions. So who is this Spirit of Truth? Well, historic Orthodox Christianity affirms the doctrine of the Trinity, which many of you have heard. What is that doctrine? The doctrine of the Trinity is this. God eternally exists as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three distinct divine persons, each of whom is fully God, yet there is only one God. All right, so there is one God who exists eternally in three persons. That is a mystery for us to be embraced by faith, for the Bible teaches it. So over and over again, the Bible emphasizes that there is one God. So the famous Shema from Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is one God. The Bible is clear on that. And yet the Bible over and over again affirms and teaches that there is one God who exists in three persons. The Bible speaks of the Father who it reveals as God. The Bible reveals to us that Jesus is the eternal Son who is fully God. And here and in other places, the Bible reveals this advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, as being fully God. They are distinct. They are separate persons, and yet there is one divine being. Okay, now you've probably heard that before. Let me push you just a little bit further here. The payoff will be worth it. So the Bible teaches that our God is a Trinity, a triune God. The Bible also teaches that the three persons of the Godhead mutually indwell one another. You may never have heard that before. Let me explain that. The doctrine of mutual indwelling means this. The Father is not the Son. He is distinct from the Son. And he is distinct from the Spirit. And yet, the Father is in the Son and in the Spirit. They mutually indwell one another. Likewise, the Son is not the Spirit. The Son is not the Father. And yet the Son is in the Father and the Son is in the Spirit. And so it is with the Spirit. The Spirit is distinct from the Father. He is not the Father. He is not the Son. And yet he is in the Son. He is in the Father. So all that the Father is, he is in the Son and in the Spirit. All that the Son is, he is in the Father and in the Spirit. All that the Spirit is, he is in the Father and in the Son. So the three persons of the Godhead are distinct persons, and yet they overlap and indwell one another so completely and totally without in any way blending or compromising the distinctions between them. Now, if you're sitting there a bit confused, wondering, well, where does the Bible teach that? And why does that matter for me? You need look no further than John 14, the passage we just read. Notice all throughout this passage the way Jesus speaks of the Father and then of himself and of the Spirit and the way they interrelate to one another. Okay, so verse 17, he says, the Spirit of truth, there's the Holy Spirit, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. The disciples are like, we don't know him. How do we know the Holy Spirit? We don't know this guy you're talking about. Jesus says, you know him, for he lives with you. Well, how does the Holy Spirit live with them? In the person of Jesus. They've seen the Son. Therefore, they've seen the Spirit. Okay, verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, he could be referring to his future resurrection there. He may be doing that as well. But I think he's also referring to the coming of the Advocate, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit is so indwelt with the Son and the Father that Jesus can say to his disciples, when the Spirit comes, I will come to you. Verse 20, Jesus says, I am in my Father. He and the Father, they indwell one another. Verse 21, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Right, the Son and the Father are one, so that their love is one. And the one who loves one loves the other. Verse 23, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. How are the Son and the Father going to come to us and make their home with us? It is through the Spirit. Verse 24, Jesus says his words belong to the Father. Okay, all through this passage, Jesus is teaching about the Trinity here. He's teaching, you know, there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We are distinct, and yet we mutually indwell one another. We are in one another, and to have one, to know one, is to know the other. So there's where the Bible teaches it. Now, what's that mean for you sitting there today? Is this just some high, fancy theological talk that makes no difference in our lives? This matters, this because this has direct bearing on the comfort you experience here and now in this life. Last week, Pastor Lance said that comfort comes from knowing the person of Jesus. And he mentioned all of these glorious things about the person of Jesus. And if you know Jesus, how can you not be comforted by knowing him in his person? Well, brothers and sisters, what good does it do for us if the person of Jesus, as glorious and as powerful as he is now away from us and is far and distant? In June, when I left on the youth trip, how much comfort could I really provide for my family when I was 5 hours away from them? If our God is not triune, if he does not exist eternally in three distinct yet united persons who mutually indwell one another, then there is no comfort for us here and now. We've been left alone. Jesus has departed and he is gone. Oh, but that's not what he says here in John 14. Jesus is saying, I'm going away, but everything about me, everything that I am in my personhood, will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you will know and experience my presence through the Holy Spirit, who will not merely be with you, but who will be in you. And then Jesus says, this advocate will come, and he will not depart, but he will remain with you forever. The Holy Spirit is not a what. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, right? The Holy Spirit is a he, a person, and the Father and the Son are in him, and he is in you. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with you this very moment as you grieve. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with you as you battle that besetting sin in your life. By the presence of the Spirit, Jesus is with you as your faith is under attack and when it feels weak. Comfort comes from knowing the person of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brings the personal presence of Jesus into our lives here and now, and he will never leave us. All right, that's point one. Knowing comfort comes from knowing the person of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Point two, comfort comes from knowing the proclamation of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Imagine you're the disciples and you spent 3 years with Jesus, sitting there on the campfire, hearing him teach the Sermon on the Mount, having those little side conversations. Every single time Jesus opens his mouth, it's a teaching opportunity for him, right? They are learning from the King of Kings, the perfect Son of Man. They had learned so much. He had taught so much. They had grown so accustomed to hearing his voice. And now he tells them, I'm going away. What if they couldn't remember all the things he had said? They're so used to hearing his voice. What are they going to do? What will the sheep do when all of a sudden the shepherd's voice is no longer there guiding them, directing them, teaching them? Right, Jesus comforts us with our proclamation. Yes, and yet, what about when he's gone? Where will his proclamation go? Where will we hear it? Jesus takes care of that. He tells us, verse 26, the Spirit will teach them all things and will remind them of everything Jesus had said to them, so that the shepherd's words would always be with the sheep. Right, the Spirit ensured that Jesus' disciples would know Jesus' proclamation. He would bring to memory everything that Jesus said to them. Jesus continues to do that in our lives now by the work of his Holy Spirit. How? Well, first and foremost, each of us is holding this in our hands, this Bible, reading from the Gospel of John, hearing the very proclamation of Jesus. The Spirit inspired the very words we are reading. He brought to memory, to the Apostle John's memory, the words, the events of Jesus' life, the proclamations of Jesus. And he carried John's hand along as he wrote down the very words we are reading today, so that today you and I, Jesus' sheep, his flock, are hearing his voice, his proclamations, because the Holy Spirit has inspired this word we are reading. All right, more than that, as we are reading this, the Spirit is working in our minds and in our hearts through something called illumination. It's like he's turning on a light bulb in our minds and in our hearts so that we can comprehend and understand and apply the very word that he inspired. Right, Jesus told us in John 10 that his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Well, the Holy Spirit has brought and continues to bring the voice of our good shepherd to us here daily. Comfort comes from knowing the proclamations of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brings Jesus' proclamations to us. All right, point three, comfort comes from knowing Jesus' preparation. Again, last week we heard in the first part of John 14, Jesus tells his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you. And they say, well, Jesus, how do we know the way to the place you're going? And he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In June, we went on vacation with Alexa's family to an Airbnb in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. And it's similar to many places in the mountains in the United States. It's backwoods, winding roads, up and down hills and around. And being a kid from, you know, straight narrow roads in Northwest Ohio, I got turned around pretty easily. I have no idea what direction I'm going. Now, I have directions, right? I know the way I'm supposed to go. This place has been prepared for you. Here are the directions. Just follow this and you'll get there. Now, I know that, and yet while I'm driving, the whole time I'm thinking, I hope I'm on the right path. I hope these directions are correct, and I hope I get there safely. And I just kept thinking to myself, if only I had a guide, someone who had has been here before, someone who knows the way, someone who can say, yeah, here's your destination, here are your directions, you're on track. You're following the right path. Just keep going, you're going to get there. But I didn't have that. And so I felt this uneasiness. Right? Ever feel that in your Christian life? I know, Jesus, you went and prepared a place for me. I know you said you're the way, and yet in this life, following you is hard. I don't always know if I'm on the right path. And I'm not always totally sure I'm going to get there. And I just kind of wish I had a guide. Well, not when I was on that trip. Finally, I'm getting to the location where the Airbnb is supposed to be. And I see it's just a quarter mile ahead or so. And I still have no idea. Like, it's a quarter mile ahead, but it could be anywhere. I don't know. And then as I'm driving up, I see this little stone drive turn left and go up the mountain. And then I see Alexa's dad standing at the bottom of the hill by the drive. And we pulled into there and he said, "Right, I'll take you up there." He had been there. He knew the route. He said, "I'll bring you there." Jesus has gone before us to prepare a place. He's given us the directions. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. But it still would be nice to have a personal guide, wouldn't it? Someone to say, yes, I've been there. I'll get you there safely. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Look at verses 18 through 20. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, I'm leaving you. I'll depart from here, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. Right, he's telling them, I'm going to be resurrected, therefore you too will be resurrected. You're going to where I'm going. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Right, well, how's Jesus going to get us there? Right? It's through the Advocate he's spoken of, through the Holy Spirit. Jesus will send the Holy Spirit as our personal guide to ensure that we get to the place he has prepared for us. In Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul writes, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." When you first believed in Jesus, whether that was last week or last year or when you were 6 years old, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to you to dwell inside of you as a guarantee or a down payment for your eternal inheritance. He is guaranteeing your place in heaven. And brothers and sisters, if the Spirit's been given to you as a down payment to guarantee your spot in eternity, will he not also ensure that you arrive safely? Jesus has not left us alone. He's gone and prepared a place for us. He's told us the way. And then he said, another advocate will come. He'll be in you. He will not leave you. He will seal you and guarantee your place there. And he will bring you there when the time comes. Comfort comes from knowing the preparation of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. All right, final point, point four. Comfort comes from knowing the person of Jesus, the proclamation of Jesus, the preparation of Jesus, all through the Holy Spirit. And finally, comfort comes from knowing the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. All right, later on in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30 that we didn't read this morning, Jesus tells his disciples, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They know me. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. Because I and the Father are one." Now, there's a missing link in that passage. Well, how can you be so sure, Jesus? You're leaving. You're going away. How can you be so sure that no one's going to snatch us out of your hand if you're not here? And what kind of shepherd does that? Jesus says, "I'll lay down my life for the sheep, but then I'm going away." Right, but Jesus fills in that missing link from John 10 here in John 14. when he tells them, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm sending you another advocate, another helper. The Father and I are one, and so is the Spirit who is with us and who is in us. All of our divine power is in the Spirit. And he will not merely be with you as I am, but he will be in you, and he will not leave, but he will remain in you forever. The Spirit is one with the Father and the Son. Remember what we said about mutual indwelling? Right, what is the Father's will from John 10? The Father's will is that the sheep would arrive safely home. The Father's will is one with the Spirit and the Son. What is the Son's will? Jesus tells us in John chapter 10. He is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. His will is that no one would snatch his sheep out of his hand. What is the Spirit's will? It's the same as the Father's and the Son's, that no one should snatch his sheep out of his hand. They are three divine persons who share one divine will to bring their sheep home to be with them forever. And so the Spirit brings to us the power of Jesus. He is the one who actually brings the power of God to bear in the lives of his people, the one who manifests it, who makes sure that it has its full effect. And so the Holy Spirit in our lives, he is the power to flee temptation and to overcome sin. The Holy Spirit is the power at work in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Holy Spirit is the power to bear fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the actual power to transform us from one degree of glory to another. The Holy Spirit is the power that sustains our faith through trials and doubt. This Holy Spirit is the power that helps us in our weakness as we pray. The Holy Spirit enables us. He is the power that enables us to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. He is the power that began the good work in our lives. He is the power that is continuing the good work in our lives. He is the power that will complete the good work that God has begun in us. The Father and the Son have entrusted the care of their sheep to the Spirit, and the Spirit is now acting all of the triune divine power to bring those sheep safely home. And so, brother or sister, if you are here today trusting in Jesus, walking with the Lord, you are doing so by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only reason you are still here trusting in Jesus, the only reason you will arrive safely home, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Pastor Lance said so well last week, the Spirit is doing more in your life right now than Jesus ever did in anybody's life during his earthly ministry. And the beauty of it is that the Spirit is doing that in the life of every single Christian around the whole world right now at this very moment. And so just as a quick aside, that is why we must gather together. To experience the Spirit's work, not just in myself individually, but to experience the Spirit's work in us and among us. To see the Spirit's work and power in the lives of brothers and sisters. Comfort comes from knowing the power of Jesus. And all of his divine power is at work in you through the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Jesus is our comfort through the Holy Spirit. This comfort comes as we know Jesus' person through the presence of the Holy Spirit. This comfort comes as we know the proclamation of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. This comfort comes as we know the preparation of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And this comfort comes as we know the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came to earth, it was his personal and professional mission to bring his sheep safely home. And he moved heaven and earth to accomplish that mission, and he laid down his life to accomplish that mission. And when his mission was accomplished, when his shift was up, he told his disciples, and he tells us now, you are in good hands. Another advocate, the Spirit of truth, who you already know, he's coming. He will bring all remembrance of my words to you. He will keep you safely until I see you again face to face, and you will be resurrected just as I am resurrected. May we fix our minds and heart on the Spirit who is in us, and may we experience the Lord's comfort as we do so. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.